The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I'm Acacia.
I'm Izzy.
And I'm Jordan. And collectively, plus Adam, we are Pinch Points from Melbourne.
Beautiful, guys. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
No worries. So Pinch Points recently finished a run of shows supporting Idols. But before we get into how good you guys were, firstly, how good were they, mate? Like, they blew me away.
Yeah, they were phenomenal. They were really, like, they had, like, just another level to their performance that I hadn't seen in such a long time, I think, especially having, like, a band from overseas coming to Australia to play around shows. It's really cool to see.
Yeah, it was awesome, and everybody was loving it. Like, it was so cool to see the passion in the crowd every night. Like, you could see that they're a really special band.
Yeah, I think we were all inspired by getting to watch them 7 times in a row.
Well, from where I was on the dance floor, like, would have been different for you guys, but from where I was, it felt like a musical version of Green Street Hooligans. It was unreal. It's probably too young to know what Green Street Hooligans are, aren't
you? Yeah, I don't know what that is. Sorry.
It's a British movie about soccer and soccer violence. So all the football violence. It sort of seemed like a musical version of that, just without the blood. It was cool.
Des was telling us a story about soccer hooligans outside his apartment that he would watch. Do you remember that? So, yeah, it kind of reminds me of that.
Yes. What was that? Supposedly there was this clash of...
next to the stadium or something like that, and there like the hooligans would like clash after like some certain game, and he would be like sitting at his window like waiting for it to happen because it happens every time.
Yeah, I remember I got a friend of mine from England, and he's a big soccer fan, and I took him to an AFL game, and we were playing, Essendon was playing Carlton, and we sort of sat right next to the Carlton supporters, and he's like looking around and he's going, "You can't sit next to the opposition. You'll get fucking stabbed, won't you?" And I'm saying, "No, mate, this is Australia, not England. Like, it's not that bad over here."
Oh, dear.
So did Idol sort of, like, take you guys under their wing, so to speak, or did they just sort of leave you to your own devices?
They were very happy to hang out with us, and I think at first we were wanting to be a little bit polite and not kind of get in their space because, I don't know, bands have their kind of routines and their things that they like to do before shows backstage, and it took a little while. We were just, you know, hanging back to figure out what their kind of mood was, and then they kept being like, "Nah, come into..." When we had separate green rooms backstage, they'd be like, "Come into ours and hang out and come to our DJ set afterwards," and they ended up taking us out for dinner one night, so they definitely were very friendly and welcoming.
That's nice. Awesome.
Yeah, no, they were good guys. We had like a couple of little music chats, like John and I would discuss some things about drums and et cetera. So it's always fun to have like that, to get a little bit of an insight into like what they use for their performances, and like they're happy to like share like, "Oh yeah, we do this and we do that." And yeah, it's cool.
That's cool. I think that's probably the first time in my whole life I've ever been to a concert and I have not known one song from either the support band or the main band and still enjoyed myself. It's very rare you can do that.
Yeah.
You enjoyed it. No, I only went because a friend of mine really wanted to see Idols and it was sold out. So the only way he could get in was if I put my hand up to review it. So I thought, alrighty, I'll take one for the team and I'll go along. But yeah, it was really good. Like, I'd never even heard of you guys before that. I'm sorry. But after the show, I had to track his down for a chat, mate. Like, he's blew me away. Where have you been hiding? How come I haven't heard of you?
Melbourne, hiding. Melbourne.
Well, there you go. I don't like the cold. That's why.
Yeah, maybe we fly under the radar a bit for some people. I don't know. Like, yeah, on a tour like the Idols tour, playing to big crowds like that, I don't know. It feels really refreshing playing to new ears.
And I guess like the last time we did a kind of like a tour around Australia would have been with TFS.
I can't even spell that. Very cool.
Yeah. That was 3 years ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. There's one thing that really struck me about you guys. It was like, you're unashamedly Australian with everything you do, like from your stage attire to your banter to your songs. Like, is that a conscious thing or is it just in your DNA?
I think,
bit of both, maybe?
Yeah, like I feel like we, from the get-go, and we still do this, have just wanted to be real and genuine. So I guess it just comes through, like the Australianisms. But I guess a lot of the songs are about Australia as well. We kind of like to reflect our environment a bit, like where we've grown up and that kind of thing, because it feels real to do that.
Yeah. You even sung about koalas. Like, no one sings about koalas. It's fucking awesome.
I noticed you mentioned that. Yeah, you picked up on that one lyric because it's like only mentioned once, but good ears. Yeah. Those things, they kind of just fall into the lyrics, but I guess they do end up creating this bigger kind of pastiche of references to things that seem Australian. I guess it's like, I don't know, like people from overseas will say how like artists like Courtney Barnett sing about very Australian things. And I guess if you're kind of singing about things that are around you and putting everyday kind of observations in, it's going to end up coming through.
I reckon it was great because, like I say, I never heard of you guys before, so I didn't know if you were an overseas support band or a local support band. And as soon as you started singing and talking, I mean, yep, they're Aussies. Like, it makes you stand out, which is great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think thanks.
We hope that we felt like a good kind of complementary kind of band and sound to Idols, but still bringing, you know, a different tone and more Australian kind of insight into punk. And then they have their thing going on. And they kind of went well together, but have our own kind of viewpoint to offer, maybe.
Yeah. And you're also blessed with the fact that every one of you can hold a note too. So, like, the crowd doesn't really know what's coming next or who's going to sing next, which it's another weapon in the arsenal, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely fun to be able to, like, share vocals or, like, sing together or shout but sing together in tune, yeah. I guess.
It's funny because you say we have a good note, thank you very much, because we talk about, like, should we start writing songs that have, like, proper singing vocal melodies in them, because we kind of have always done the shouting thing mainly so far, but it's nice to hear that people appreciate what's coming out of our mouths as well.
It's actually funny for me because from where I was standing, like, I couldn't really see you, Izzy, sometimes because there was a pole in my way, and then you started singing that one song, and I'm looking at everyone else on stage, and I'm like, no one's fucking singing. Where's that coming from?
Surprise.
Yes, a little surprise.
So, like, yeah. Even though it's great having so many people singing in a band, like, does it ever become an issue in the writing and recording process as to who's actually going to be singing?
I think it's an asset.
Mm.
Because I think there's times where, because we focus around performance, so if there's, like, a bass line that's a bit, like, has a swing to it or a drum beat that I can't sing over or Adam can't sing over his, like, lead line, it's helpful to just get other people who, like, can do those parts, and then our performance, like, is better for it because we're able to play our instruments and sing at the same time. So that's my opinion on that, at least. I think it's an asset.
And how does it go in the writing process? Like, just say, if you write some lyrics, like, are you automatically going to sing that song because you've written the lyrics, or do you sort of write for each other?
We kind of write for each other. I think that if I wrote something and I was like, oh, I don't really want to sing this because of whatever reason, I would definitely just give it to one of the others. And Adam's done that with some, like, predominantly over the first two albums as well that we had. So yeah, we kind of all just, like, share it.
Cool. And you released your latest album, Process, back in March of this year. So how was the reception for that one?
Good. Yeah. It was awesome. First time working with some new labels like Mistletone here, who tour some really great bands. They're awesome, lovely to work with. And then a new label in America called Exploding in Sound. And I think the whole experience was really great and got to launched the album at the Corner Hotel, which is like, I mean, that's where I saw Idols last time they came. And for us to be able to play there to like a good home crowd, I think it was awesome.
And the press release calls that album a big leap forward into full force post-punk empowerment. Like, that sounds fucking awesome. Would you agree with that?
Hell yeah.
Totally.
Can you elaborate on it a bit for us?
Okay, sure. Gosh, it's a strong statement.
It is, yeah.
This is what happens when we get other people to write our bios and press stuff. And it's like, oh, shit.
They've actually done really well. It's a really,
they're,
really
they're
cool
better
place.
At talking us up than we are talking ourselves up. I don't know. We were just writing our songs and doing our thing.
I think in this like album as well, we're exploring like, I guess, our surroundings, the feelings at the time through like the pandemic, a bit of, you know, the leadership changes that happened in our government, and just like our anger but also our hope, kind of like, I guess, shows throughout the songs and the music. So I think that maybe that's why it's like a full force of ideas and just like energy and anger and hope and just like a lot of emotions throughout the entire in like album and process. And yeah,
that's better than what I would have done, mate. Well done. Congratulations. And when you listen to your music, like it's essentially got punk like running through its veins, but he's put a bit of rock in there. There's rockabilly. Like, you've got timing and tempo changes all over the place. Like, where does that amalgamation of styles come from?
That's a really good question. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we kind of try and resist templates a bit and just do what feels fun. But yeah,
I guess we have like a lot of influences from a lot of different places as well when we're writing, like, and I guess there's sometimes when we're listening to like old rock, like, I think were you and Adam listening to a bit of Midnight Oil, Jord?
Definitely. But yeah, maybe it's seeped in a bit.
I think when we're writing, we always want to like shake things up a bit as well. We often talk about like, oh, why don't we try doing this thing that we haven't done before? And so yeah, the end product is probably a lot of like, yeah, different kind of changes and wacky things going on in songs, like you mentioned, like tempo and timing. So we're always kind of just down to like challenge ourselves a bit and try new things and keep it fun, keep it different. But also, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it makes me, because we had a bit of a songwriting session, the first in a while, the other night. And I think, you know, we're all kind of generally wanting to add in our ideas for the songs and make it a really collaborative process. But then at some point when you're writing the songs or like polishing them, you've got to kind of be aware of maybe not throwing in everyone's ideas, because like, I don't know, we don't want to just, like, maybe if one person just wrote the song and that was it and we just learnt it and played the chords, it wouldn't be as complicated as a lot of our stuff ended up being, because we've all had ideas to throw in. But then I think what we did well in process is maybe trying to restrain some of those things a bit more as well and put focus on the vocals in some sections, or not sure. But earlier stuff, I think my tendency was just to add heaps of notes and go a bit crazy.
As you do. So you guys have had a pretty big 2022 so far, mate. So what do you guys got planned for next year and beyond? Any major plans?
We went to Europe for the first time this year, and the UK, and we have loose plans to try and get back there next year. That's maybe like one of the big things that's bubbling away. What were you going to say, Izzy?
I was going to say, well, we're starting to write again as well, so hopefully we'll be able to write as much as possible and get in a recording studio maybe sometime next year and record another album if everything works out with the songwriting.
Very good, guys. All right, well, thanks very much for joining me for a chat today. Make sure anything you release in the future you send through to me, because I'll support you guys as much as I can, or breath of fresh air you are, mate. I really enjoy seeing you. So thanks for taking the time.
Thanks so much.
Really appreciate it.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.